Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Monday and we are back after a restful weekend. Grant and Danny with you, 106.7 The Fan. The MLB trade deadline is today. Are the Nats going to get better? Will they acquire relief pitching help, a starter, perhaps a bat? We will cover the deadline twice today with guests. 11:30, Casey Stern of MLB Network Radio. 1 o'clock, Jim Bowden, who was the last GM of the Nationals before Mike Rizzo and has run front offices in baseball in both Washington and in Cincinnati, former executive of the year. We will talk to him about days like today for a GM and how they make the deal that could help a team win a World Series. So that's coming up on Grant and Danny. Before we get into the deadline at 10:30 and what the Nats need to do, we wanted to start, Danny, with the Redskins, which we'll get to in a second. But what'd you do this weekend?
I had a one-year-old's birthday party on Saturday. That's how my social calendar gets filled these days, my friend. Is we went to some bouncy house in Rockville. Well, what you do is you go in and each room is like a different place for the kids to bounce and then there's pizza at the end. It's a well-oiled party place type machine, but it was a blast. It was very nice. Kids get tired out, then they take naps. It's a beautiful thing.
I was at a wedding in Philadelphia. Had a lot of fun. Enjoyed myself. Went to Citizens Bank Ballpark on Friday night. Saw the Phillies hit a ton of home runs, by the way.
Oh, wow.
They're a bad team, but they hit a slew of
Was it bullets. One of those nights where, like, just lazy fly balls or 10 rows back?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was one of those nights called 2017 where the ball is clearly juiced and something wacky is happening. And there's going to be close to 700 more homers than I've ever been hit before. But it just sounds different off the bat to me. Like, Aaron Altair hit a homer. I was sitting right behind the dugout that went seven rows deep in left field. And off the bat, it was one of the loudest, craziest sounds I've ever heard at a baseball game. I thought it was going to go 700 feet. He was a 4A player. Really strong, really big. Just an okay major leaguer.
He's fine.
It was a fun night, though, at a really cool ballpark. Have you been there?
I have not.
It's
pretty. It is nice, I hear.
Very nice. And what I love about it is, the concourse is huge. There's no, like, standing in line for concessions. There's a million of them. Getting in and out of the ballpark, you're not waiting. You're not kind of getting funneled down with traffic. It's really well-designed and well-built, so I enjoyed myself. But Philly was fun. I requested Chainsmokers on the dance floor like I always do. Hopped around to the Chainsmokers. You know that move I have.
You do that move. Where it's like if things were different physiologically for you, you might take off.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's not possible because human beings can't fly. Nobody's saying that you should be closer than anyone else. But if things were different, you get a little arm flap going and you get a little enough excitement where you feel like maybe you could David Blaine it off the ground just a little bit.
You want good news, bad news, EMP diet-wise over the weekend at a wedding?
Give me the bad news, then I want to close with the good. That's just how I've always been.
Bad news, I ate a little bit of mashed potatoes.
Okay, you're entitled.
I ate too much meat. Good news, didn't drink at the wedding.
Okay.
Didn't eat cake at the wedding.
Okay.
Didn't eat any of the cookies or delicious desserts on the dessert table at the wedding.
There's a whole table of them, I bet, yeah.
Donuts, everything available I ever wanted. Didn't eat any of it. So that was good and bad. I think we did okay.
There's some, quote-unquote, bad in there. Now, give me the good news.
I just gave it to you.
I see. It was all packaged in one thing.
Right. The bad news and then the good news were both provided.
Oh, right there. I thought the good news was like, but I didn't gain any pounds. Or like, I'm still on
track. No.
But you did.
The good news is I avoided all the baked goods and sweets.
I see.
That was the good news.
I got it.
Which is actually bad news.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't really.
But for today, it's a little bit different. Our lives are changing all the time. All right, let's get into the Redskins. Jared Brewer was just on with the Junkie.
Yes, he was.
We were sitting here during our pre-show meeting listening to this. And we found it interesting, so we actually want to start with this. Brewer wrote a column, and you heard the Junkies talking about it, that the Redskins have quality depth for real this time. And basically his point is, after years of people pointing to the team's improving depth and saying, they're good at this position. They're professionally built here. Look at their roster at a spot where they've been bad before. He is making the case that this is probably the deepest Redskins roster in his several years around the team. I think he is correct. But it leads to a conversation where we can now debate what the best built portion of the roster is. We can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines less than a week into training camp at 800 636-1067. And before we get to the MLB trade deadline and what the Nats will do at 10:30, we have some time to take your calls on what is the Redskins' best-built roster position? Again, 800-636-1067. So some options here, Danny.
Yep.
At wide receiver, they are deep. You can't really deny that, but they are not deep with known commodities. You've got Terrell Pryor and Josh Doctson starting. A lot of teams would trade their top two for that high upside plus-sized group of two. Then you've got Brian Quick, who's been a starter now coming off the bench for them. You got Jamison Crowder, who could catch 80 balls this year. Ryan Grant, who they won't stop talking about, a former fifth-round pick who they love. Maurice Harris, who was the flavor of the month end of last season, has played very well. So we just rattled off there six names at receiver that they really like. At tight end, Jordan Reed, all world. Niles Paul, very talented. Vernon Davis, huge year last year as a number two. And a recently drafted rookie in the fifth round, Jeremy Sprinkle, who can block. Derek Carrier, who's not 100% healthy right now, last year missed much of the year with an ACL, is suddenly an extra piece in a commodity that they don't necessarily need, who's actually a really athletic, good pass-catching tight end they once traded for.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the depth is there, and Jerry makes a great point in this column. This is one of the things that people don't really understand the ramifications of when you build through free agency. You can get a really good player in free agency. It costs more than your own homegrown drafted player, but you can build that way. You can add some pieces. You can get quality players. The problem is you're top-heavy. When the inevitable injury happens, you're left with a wasteland. You're left with guys off the street. You're left with guys that were delivering furniture 3 weeks before. And the occasional one of those is a great story where it's like, he was on his couch 2 weeks ago. Now he scores a touchdown for the Vikings. And that's cute. But the big problem is when you don't have the quality depth, you can't really have an X man up. It's nice to say, but you can't have it. The Redskins, for so many of those years, when the injuries do hit, it's been a disaster. When they lose one or two key people, good night, Irene. You know, there's no point to the season. That's changed. It started under Shanahan with Bruce Allen here too, by the way.
Yeah, both get credit.
They deserve credit for this. They've gotten better in this regard.
So you lose a wide receiver, you're still okay for the most part. And don't get me wrong, you lose Jamison Crowder, it's going to burn and it's going to hurt. You're going to be a lot worse as an offense. But it is not a bone-rattling, crippling blow that you can't overcome.
So remember, when Jordan Reed couldn't play, Mike Shanahan was like, this is now no longer safe for Robert Griffin. Because Jordan Reed's out, I can't have number 10 on the field because that's his safety valve. He's going to get killed. Think about that. Now we go to a point. Jordan Reed's going
to
miss time.
Paul.
It's Niles Paul. It's Vernon Davis.
Version of him. Exactly. Vernon Davis, who last year caught 50 balls as a number two tight end. Running back position. Rob Kelly's your starter. Samaje Perine, he just drafted in the fourth round out of Oklahoma, as his backup. Chris Thompson is one of the better pass-catching third-down backs in the league. Matt Jones, who was your starter in week one last year, may not make the roster. Understand that. 1 year ago at this time, Matt Jones was the unquestioned number one player on the depth chart. Now, partly because he's not that good, but also because you've drafted Perine, Kelly came on out of nowhere, and Thompson finally stayed healthy, he's now number four on your depth chart. And I'm not convinced, by the way, that Mac Brown may not be ahead of him on the depth chart.
Yeah.
You can make the case that Matt Jones, a third-round pick who would start for a few teams around the league probably, is the fifth-best running back in Washington. Another deep position. We've had debates, I think misguided conversations, but we've had dialogue about what Colt McCoy would be able to do in this offense. Your quarterback position is built with a good starter in Cousins, a good backup in McCoy, and a third quarterback we don't know anything about, and Nate Sudfeld still as a sixth-round pick last year. But that's what a third overall quarterback on your depth chart looks like.
They're supposed to look like that, yeah.
A late-round guy who probably isn't that good, but maybe he is, or he's got one carrying tool. For him, it's the attribute of a powerful, strong arm. Defensively, you want to run through kind of what they've got position by position? We could keep going here, but that's just the offense, and all those spots are pretty well built.
So they're better. I don't think they're good enough on D, and that debate we'll have later on in the show. But there are bodies. Now when you start getting to the back end of a Phil Taylor who's played in this league, a Ziggy Hood, a Matt Ioannidis, Anthony Lanier, Joey Umbu, AJ Francis. I'm not talking about these guys as studs. None of these guys are world beaters. This is not he arrives on your roster and you do what the Giants did, go from the back end of defensive rankings to a top five unit. Nobody's saying that's Olivier Vernon's here. What I am saying is you've got legitimate competition now. Think of the linebacker spot. It used to be Ryan Kerrigan and who the hell else is going to line up. 2 years ago, it was Keenan Robinson and Perry Riley. Now, it's Zach Brown, a pro bowler. It's Will Compton, who played really well at times. Mason Foster, who played really well at times. The outside spots, Preston Smith, Trent Murphy, once he comes back. Oh, and by the way, Junior Glett, and you drafted Ryan Anderson. You've got competition in places. I still don't think they're set at a lot of spots. I would prefer more high-end talent. But given the choice between one high-end guy and a bunch of also-rans, I'll take it this way.
But see, high-end talent takes time. Those guys have to be acquired by drafting high. You don't get bulk. You don't get to shop at Costco in the draft, essentially. You need to add bodies and basically flood your system with as many competitive players as possible to create players improving. But to get top-end talent, you draft in the first and the second round. You only get two of those picks per year, typically, if you keep them, by the way, which for a few years they didn't have them. You only get to go sign one marquee free agent, two marquee free agents, an offseason. So you're not going to go get upper echelon top players at their position. Look at the best players on this team. Trent Williams. Now, those guys are drafted. Ryan Kerrigan. Mm-hmm. That's a 16th overall pick. So how do you do it? Well, you add as much talent as possible by way of the draft or by cheaper free agent signings. You don't get to re-sign Chris Baker because he would have cost a little more money, but you get two instead of one with McGee and McClain for about the same money. And speaking to the depth this year, look at the defensive line. Their projected starters, Allen at left end, McClain at right end, McGee at nose, were not here last year.
Right.
Their second group is largely comprised of guys that were not here last year. Only Ziggy Hood and Anthony Lanier, who wasn't on the active 53-man roster all season, were here start to finish in 2016. You mentioned the linebacking core. Anderson's a second-round pick. Trent Murphy had his best year last year. Junior Gallette's going to play his first down in Washington this season. Smith and Kerrigan starting. Inside, you still have Martrell Spate. Is he even going to make the team? He's been a strong special teams player when healthy for this club. He's been on the field on defense. I think Chris Carter, who they just signed, Will Compton, Mason Foster, Zach Brown, all ahead of him on the depth chart. And then in the secondary, where they got more questions than answers, they drafted Fabian Moreau. They drafted Monte Nicholson. They've got Breland hoping to have a bounce back year. Last year's draft pick, Sua Cravens, is starting. You signed DJ Swearinger. Quentin Dunbar's coming along as a project. D'Angelo Hall back healthy this season. Will Blackman's been retained. Kendall Fuller, third-round pick a year ago. You can see that
the
plan is kind of working here.
Yeah, this, keep in mind, is the McLuhan plan. I will say this. Bruce started the frugality of free agency, meaning we're not going to overpay, with the occasional Jason Hatcher thrown in or the occasional Stephen Paya, some mistakes that they've made to fill some needs or fill a void or two. But this is the McLuhan design. This is the I learned from Ron Wolf in Green Bay. We took it to San Francisco, took it to Seattle, etc., where you just keep grinding in this way. You don't go for the cheap fix. You don't go for the expensive quick fix. This is how it's supposed to look. It's how it's supposed to build. Now, eventually, you're supposed to get good and start cashing these into 11, 12 win seasons and some home field advantage and, I don't know, championship appearances. They're not there yet, but it is better.
Let's do this based on Jerry Brewer's column and his guest spot with the Junkies last hour. 800-636-1067 is the number you can call us right now. What is the deepest built position on the Redskins roster that you are the most confident in? What is the weakest link on this roster? What is the position that you worry the most about? Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.